الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has established the deen in such a way that a person achieves success the moment they enter into deen. And after they achieve success the moment they enter in deen, then the tests begin, and the person's success or failure is tested. Now, to understand this, you actually have to go back. Let's talk about college or high school or graduate school, because these are the things that we're all familiar with. The day you enter into college, they don't give you a degree. The day you start college, they sign you up for classes. You take classes, you take tests, you take classes, you take tests, you take assignments, you take tests, you take classes, you keep going, 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 going. At the end of the 4 years or 5 years or however much time it takes, they give you a degree. So what's the paradigm? They test you, exam, test, paper, exam, test, and eventually they give you a degree. The deen is different. In the deen, you get the degree right away. The moment you say, La ilaha illallah, you're given Jannah. Man qala la ilaha illallah, dakhala al-Jannah. That's straightforward. So you get your certificate on the first day. Now what happens is, once you proclaim this La ilaha illallah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts to test you. You get the degree first, and then you're tested to see whether you fulfill the mandates of that degree. So what happens in this instance, man qala la ilaha illallah dakhala al-jannah, the person who says La ilaha illallah, they're prepared now to go into Jannah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests them. How does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala test them? He tests them by giving them time and seeing what they do with it. He tests them by giving them health and seeing how they use it. He tests them by placing them in various interactions and relationships and seeing how they respond to it. He tests them by giving them wealth and seeing how they spend it. He tests them by granting them youth and seeing how they apply it. So these are the multiple domains in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test the individual that claims La ilaha illallah. And all of us, we fall in this sphere, right? We either achieved maturity in a Muslim household, and so we were tested when we become adults, or some of us entered into the deen by having the tawfiq to meet somebody who taught us about Islam and we recited the kalima. But the point remains that we are being tested. If you're sitting in this room, you're being tested. Now, everybody's test is different, and at various stages in our lives, those tests can be different. So, for example, when a person's young and energetic, then the test is how they use their youth. When a person's healthy and strong, then the test is how they use their health. When a person has wealth, then the test is how they use their wealth. So each of these different tests can apply at different times in our lives. We as Muslims have to recognize that every domain of our lives is a opportunity. And it's a means by which we can prove our deen and advance ourselves in deen. Now, I've been talking a lot about this project that we've just embarked upon. And it's the dominant thing on my mind because that's all I've been talking about, and I spent a lot of time working on this over the last few weeks. And so one of the things that I announced last week was that, you know, if anybody has any particular skill, if they can present that skill to us, then we could potentially use that skill. And I gave the example of the brother who did the audio for Sheikh Zulfikar's masjid, which has capacity for 10,000 people, and, you know, basically has a superdome audio system. And he was able to train himself and learn to the extent that Sheikh Zulfikar was pleased with his knowledge, and eventually he was given the opportunity to install that system. And now he's coming to us and offering us his help as well. And he's not the only one. SubhanAllah, in the last week, so many people have come forward with so many different skills, and I didn't even know these skills exist in this gathering, let alone in the community. It's very impressive, mashallah, to see how the people come together and how people have different skills and how they can apply them to these types of projects. So either your name is on a list if you've already given it, or we've identified you, and we're slowly working to incorporate those people, whether it be the person who can do the plumbing, to the person who can do the networking, to the person who can set up who does the architecture, whatever it might be. I mean, there's so many skills within the community. It's just amazing. One of the most important aspects of this project, and as I mentioned before, one of the most important aspects of this project is going to be to fund the project. And I gave you some principles last week, but I think that in the last few days, I myself have been thinking about this a lot. And I have been reminding myself a lot about what type of opportunity this is and why this aspect of the opportunity is important. And I want to mention some of these things that I'm going to say today, not because I'm particular about this project, although this project is dominant in my mind, but because I'm particular about the many opportunities that will come in front of us over time. And not this project only. There's many, many projects that are going to be worthy of being funded. And we ask that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us a part of each and every one of those. But this is a general thing in our deen that we have to appreciate, that, you know, there's only a few major domains. There's your youth, there's your health, you know, there's your wealth. These are the big questions that are going to be asked about us on the Day of Judgment. And so we have to appreciate how to handle those tests, because they define who we are. Now, one of the big things that we will be tested with, and many of you are students in this room, so you may not be at this level yet, but eventually it'll come, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He bestows wealth upon us. And when He bestows wealth upon us, it's very important to recognize that that wealth is not a consequence of our efforts. It's a mechanism by which we're tested. The deception in this day and age is that I work hard for my money. This is a major deception that exists in this day and age, that I work hard for my money. So what happens? A person goes to school, or a person engages in business, or a person engages in a trade. They spend a lot of hours, and they spend a lot of effort, and eventually they generate some sort of income from that. And when they look at the income that they generate, often they can go back and simply trace it to the effort that they made. And so the common deception is that this is all a consequence of my work. And so therefore, I've worked hard for my money. But the reality is that the money is not something that we earn. It is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows upon us. It is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows upon us. And this money and this wealth that Allah bestows upon us, this is a test for us. It is a test first of all, it's a benefit, because we are allowed to take a portion of that and spend it on ourselves. Not only are we allowed to, we're actually encouraged to, right? Because we are encouraged to take the amount that we need and spend it on ourselves. And it's also encouraged to take the amount that we need and spend it on our families. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not have to make it that way. It could have been whatever you're given, you need to spend and you deal with it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us the right to take from the wealth that He bestows upon us and spend it on ourselves without us being accounted for that. So this is one major benefit of our wealth. But beyond that, the rest of our wealth becomes a test for us. Now, the funny thing about wealth, and as opposed to many things in life, is that the way you see your wealth, or the way we see our wealth, often is not the reality of our wealth. The wealth that we see in front of us, we think we gather it and we earn it. We think that we're like little kids, you know, they make a big pile of all their things and they grab everything they can and they scoop it up and they put a big pile together. So we think that we're going out into the world and we're just grabbing one hand here and one hand here and we're scooping up all our wealth and we're putting it in front of us. The reality is, wealth does not work that way. Wealth comes from above. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows wealth on us, and we take that wealth, and depending on how we use that wealth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us more or less. Now, the fool is the one who thinks that the more I make my grasp, and the more I bring my hands together, and the more I cover this from everybody else, the more I'm going to have. But that's not what hadith teaches us. The hadith teaches us exactly the opposite. The hadith makes it very clear that whatever wealth we have is actually coming from above. It's not coming from the grasp that we establish and the, you know, the ability of us to scoop up and put everything in front of us. In fact, in one narration, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentions, he says, give in charity and don't be hesitant. Give in charity and don't be hesitant, because if you're hesitant, Allah will be hesitant with you. Give in charity and don't be hesitant, because if you are hesitant, Allah will be hesitant with you. Now, what is that showing us? It's showing us that if we think that we can scoop up our wealth and it's a consequence of what we do, then we're highly deceived, because the reality is that actually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that's giving. So if we open our hands and don't be so defensive and we give of our wealth, right, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will simply open His hands and give us more. And that's the equation that has to be established. And this is something that's unfortunately highly deceptive. Now, the beauty of this is that if we give in this life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us in this life, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us in the next life as well. So this is a principle that all of us in this room have to establish, that in our budgets, we should always create space for giving sadaqah. Now, there's some warnings about this as well. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, these are all sahih hadith, by the way. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in one hadith, he says that every morning there are angels that come to the believers. Every morning there are angels that come to the believers. Now, I'm just going to quote it to you because I have it here and I don't want to misquote it. So here is the exact statement. There is not a day in which the obedient slave rises in the morning except that two angels descend. Okay, so what is that saying? Every day we wake up, two angels descend upon us. And one of them says the following, O Allah, compensate the one who spends. What does that mean? If a person spends in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every morning there's an angel coming, every morning, saying, compensate the one who spends. Right? Now, then what happens? The other angel then speaks. And what does the other angel say? O Allah, destroy the wealth of the one who withholds. O Allah, destroy the wealth of the one who withholds. Now you think about this. Some people make so much money, but there's no barakah in their wealth. They're not happy. There always seems like ends aren't meeting. It always seems like money can't be accounted for. It's not, you know, they get caught up in the pieces of paper. And what happens? The barakah disappears and there is no happiness in their wealth. Why? Because they're withholding. They're thinking, the more I amass, the more I pile up, the more I'll have. And then, you know, the deception is what? The deception that Shaitan creates in the mind of the righteous and the pious. Okay, so there's one level. There's one level of the person that just takes their wealth and hoards it and doesn't even have any concept of Allah. They're totally going to be destroyed. Then there's the other person who's a believer. They hoard their wealth together. And what's in their mind? When I get this much, I'll give that much more. Let me get my $500,000 collected and then I'm going to give a real splash. But that's all deception. That doesn't happen. These angels come every day. These angels come every day. And one angel says, O Allah, you know, I mean, I'm quoting this to you. O Allah, compensate the one who spends. So what happened? This person spends a little bit. They get more and more and more. And the other angel says, destroy the wealth of the one who doesn't spend. You know what the example is? Okay, you have a shop. Person has a shop. Okay, I open up a restaurant. Okay, and in my restaurant, I sell Coca-Cola. Let's just give an example. Okay, I have a store, I sell Coca-Cola. Now, people come in the door, and they want Coca-Cola. So what am I going to say? I shouldn't sell it to them, because what if I run out? Right? That's not even the thought in the mind of the person who's selling Coca-Cola. What does he say? Let me sell as much as I can, because the more I sell, I'll just pick it up from over there and bring it to the store again tomorrow, because he knows that there's a company behind him. And that company is mass producing Coca-Cola. So all he'll do is sell as much as he can. If his store is empty, he's happy because he knows the next day the truck will come and fill the store even more. That's exactly the case of wealth. We are little shopkeepers. Okay? What do we sell? We sell this wealth. We distribute this wealth. Now, if we hold it back, thinking that what's going to happen if I get rid of this wealth, then nothing's going to come from the source. We just shut down the source. You think if I don't sell Coca-Cola, Coca-Cola is going to send me more bottles? They're not going to send me anything. But if we give, when we give, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives more. Because this becomes a channel to benefit the entire community, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's eyes are on the benefit of the community, not on the individual. So this actually is a mechanism to increase our wealth, not decrease. And in fact, Rasulullah in another Sahih Hadith, he says, giving in charity does not decrease your wealth even in the slightest. Giving in charity does not decrease your wealth even in the slightest. Now, that doesn't make any sense. If I have $500,000 in my account and I give $100,000 in charity, my eyes tell me that I just decreased my wealth because my statement went down to 400K, right? So clearly, from what I see, my wealth is decreased by 100,000. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us that although it looks like your wealth decreased by this 100,000, actually the reality is that your wealth did not even decrease in the slightest way. Not even by a penny, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will replenish that 100,000 and He'll replenish far beyond that 100,000. Far beyond that 100,000. So this is the wisdom by which we deal with our wealth. And this is something that all of us have to embed in our minds. Not because of this project. Again, this project is important because it's an opportunity, and opportunities are limited and windows close, and we have X amount of dollars that we have to raise for the project. So that's, you know, this is why I'm talking about this. This is why I've been reading about this lately, just to remind myself. But throughout our lives, we're going to be making money every day. Some of us are making it today. Some of us are going to make it tomorrow. We have to be consistent in giving wealth. That is where the barakah will lie. If we think that we can hoard our money and save it for our children, what's going to happen? Our children, they'll get it and they'll squander it. They'll get it and they'll squander it. I can tell you so many stories. I have people who have come to me, you know, $1 million, $2 million, $5 million. They say that, you know, I spent my whole life saving this money up. And then I made one bad business decision and I lost half of it. Or, you know, now look at my kids. They're going to inherit this and they're going to burn it in kufr. They're going to burn it in clubs. They're going to burn it in alcohol. They're going to burn it. He's going to burn it in his drug problem. There's no barakah in amassing wealth. Wealth is, we are distributors of wealth. A Muslim is a distributor of wealth the same way that the soda shop is a distributor of Coca-Cola. Only if the distributor distributes will they receive more Coca-Cola. And only if we distribute our wealth will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send us more wealth. Now the beauty of it is that it works on both phases. I mean, and it works in two ways. When a person gives what they can in this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase them in two ways. Number one, Allah increases their wealth in this world. He puts barakah in their existing wealth. He removes any curse that might exist in their wealth. And He definitely increases them by number. And anybody who gives any sadaqah, they will come and say, they can personally come and tell you that my balance has continuously gone up despite the fact that I've given sadaqah. I've never heard anybody say I went bankrupt because I gave sadaqah. Sadaqah is a very powerful way by which we bring barakah into our wealth, decrease curse in our wealth, and increase the number in our wealth as well. But what's amazing is beyond that, that would have been sufficient. But beyond that, there are benefits on the day of judgment that will far supersede the tiny benefits in this life. In one narration, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentions that every man will be under the shade of his charity on the day of judgment. Every man will be under the shade of his charity on the day of judgment. Now you tell me. You know, if I was sitting in a hot desert, and there was no water, and there was no shade, I would give everything I had for an umbrella. I would give everything that I had for a glass of water. And if it was my child, I would collect money from the community and give everything that we had. Right? Now, what about on the day of judgment? When there's no water to drink, and there's no shade, and it goes on for hundreds of thousands of years, potentially. What are we going to do then? So, if we are looking for an umbrella on that difficult day, and we really believe in that difficult day, and we ascertain that that difficult day exists, that all of us should be preparing now. So look at this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so merciful that not only does He put barakah in our wealth, not only does He increase our wealth in this life, but it becomes the shade under which the person will stand on the Day of Judgment. The more the sadaqah, the greater the shade. The greater the shade, inshallah, the more the space there'll be. Maybe for family members, maybe for loved ones. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. But each of us has to recognize the reality of what we're doing with our wealth and the opportunity that sits before us. Now, not only that, but then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reciprocates beyond the Day of Judgment when the person enters into Jannah. There was a man who came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He brought a camel to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the camel had a muzzle on the mouth. You know, like the muzzle that they put on the mouth so that the camel can't bite anyone or attack anyone. So he brought this camel to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, "Ya Rasulullah, this is in sadaqah. This camel is being given in sadaqah." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him that on the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him 700 muzzled camels in reward for that one. 700 muzzled camels in reward for that one. So just imagine. You know, I mean, even greater, the issue that we spoke about last week. Person builds a house for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because we were talking about the building of the masjid. Person builds a house for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides him with a house in the day of in Jannah. Now obviously, if you have 700 camels in Jannah, or you have a house in Jannah, it means you're going to Jannah. Right? The house is not going to be empty. The 700 camels are not going to be without a master or a shepherd. So these are sort of assumed corollaries. You know, the statement's not clearly made here that you're going to Jannah, but it's an obvious assumption that if you have a house in Jannah, you must be going there. And if you have 700 camels in Jannah, you must be tending them there. So this is something that we have to appreciate, the power of our wealth. And unfortunately, we've become deceived in thinking that my wealth is a means by which I can upgrade my car. My wealth is a means by which I can upgrade my house. My wealth is a means by which I'm going to upgrade my lifestyle. The wealth is a means by which we upgrade our position in this life and our Jannah in the hereafter. That's the purpose of wealth. That's the benefit of wealth. Now, that's not to say we can't spend on ourselves. Spend on yourself, no problem. But the same way we would spend on ourselves, we should be ready to spend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, there's a great deal. Look, if I told you that there's normally a house that's available, it normally sells for $1 million, it's under foreclosure, it's $400,000, you would run around like a chicken with no head trying to find as much money as you can to gather together. Can I borrow 10 from you? Can I borrow 10 from you? Can I borrow 10 from you? You'd amass the $400,000. Why? You say, this is a $1 million house. I'm getting this for $400,000. This is a great deal. It's never going to come again. So in the same way, when the opportunity comes to build a house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it's coming for cheap, I'm telling you, the budget on this project is cheap compared to some of the other budgets. I mean, I can tell you the land in this project is the cost of the dome in some other projects. Okay? So this is coming cheap. So if there's an opportunity to build a house for cheap, and we've already mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will build a house for that individual who builds a house for Allah, even if it's the size of a bird's nest. Meaning, even if the house is the size of that you build in this world for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the size of a bird's nest, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them back a house in Jannah. So why wouldn't we jump at that? And I mean, I'm not saying we're not. I can tell you, subhanAllah, I'm just amazed at how quickly this fundraising is going. I'm very confident that we're going to be done very soon. At least for me being able to say to people, you have the opportunity to build the masjid. There's other parts of the project that could use funding. People are being extremely generous, but we should all have this embedded in our minds from now that today's opportunities will not come again. And they are limited. So we should look at our wealth as a means of increasing. Again, I'm not criticizing anyone here. I've had the opposite problem. People have come to me and they've said, I want to give this much, and I know that they can't afford that much. And I have to say to them, no, you can only give half of that. So, you know, alhamdulillah, people understand this, but this is something that we have to embed in our minds for every day of our lives. There are angels that are assigned, like I've already mentioned, to come and remind us to give sadaqah and curse us if we don't. So any opportunity, we should take it. We see that someone's in need, we should give. We see that there's a project worthy of being contributed to, we should give. We see an opportunity to fund an individual to learn the deen, we should give. We see an opportunity to sponsor an orphan, we should give. I've mentioned this in many, many occasions. Everybody in this room should sponsor at least one orphan. Everybody in this room, it's a very easy way to earn closeness to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on the Day of Judgment and inshallah in Jannah. So this is something that we have to appreciate, which is that these opportunities are there and they are limited. We are young, we will become old. We are healthy, we will eventually become sick. We have wealth, we will eventually leave this world and the wealth will be left behind. And who knows what will happen to it. So we have to take advantage of these opportunities. This is the purpose of who we are. So it's very opposite to college. You know, in college, you take test, you get the degree, you're done. It works totally the opposite. In the deen, you say, La ilaha illallah, you got your degree. You're going to Jannah. Now you'll be tested on that. You'll be given wealth, and it'll be seen whether you spend it or not. You'll be given time, and it'll be seen whether you waste it or not. You'll be given health, and it'll be seen, are you productive or not? You'll be given youth, and it'll be seen, where do you put the energy? Do you put the energy towards haram, or do you put the energy towards establishment of Allah's great name? So these are, again, opportunities, tests, and trials for us. We ask that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to be among those who succeed and pass the various tests that he places on the shoulder of the believers. And we ask that he grant us abundant wealth and grant us abundant hearts and hands so that we can spend that wealth in his great name. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.